Well, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Happy Thursday. I'm Seer Evangelist Linda Casrus, and I am elated to welcome you this evening to Gatekeepers Global Podcast. Just a little bit part of Gatekeepers Ministry International. I'm so honored to have my guest on tonight. As a matter of fact, Dr. Patrick Obin, he had this topic that he expounded on in one of his devotionals that I had gotten in an email a couple weeks ago, and I mentioned it to him about speaking on this topic. I think this topic is very profound at this time because it's important that we know who we are today. There's a minister that I've heard in the pulpit many, many times preach the Word of God, and during his time in the pulpit, he has mentioned on more than one occasion that we are all sinners, and that is not who God says we are. He lined himself up with something he saw on a TV show about a homosexual calling himself a sinner on some talk show or something, and then he said, well, we're all sinners, and God definitely has never in his word, us, the born-again believer, the royal priesthood, a holy nation, the saints, in the same category or line us up in the same vein as a homosexual, which we love the person, but we hate the sin. It's also an abomination to God, homosexuality. So we need to know who we are. We need to know exactly who we are. This is more expounded on, or a lot expounded on, in the Old Testament. But the New Testament also tells us that we're a royal priesthood. We need to know that. Especially at this time in the earth, when we're called everything but a child of God, some of us, even people that sit in church, say the same thing. But we give God all the glory, honor, and praise tonight. Hallelujah. Recognizing that we are a remnant people. The royal priesthood, the holy nation, will be caught up to meet him in the air in the rapture. I'm so sold out to Jesus. I love him so much. I give him all the praise, honor, and the glory. I thank you that when he looks upon me and he looks upon us, he looks upon his priests, his holy nation, hallelujah, his five wise virgins, oh my God, hallelujah. It's time that we walked exactly in these specific callings that God looks at us and sees us and calls us his own, his saints. So I want to pray, and then I want to have Dr. Patrick Obin to minister to us on our role as priests. Father God, in the name of Jesus, Adonai Elohim, we come before you and we thank you. We give you all the praise, honor, and all the glory this evening. We thank you for Gatekeepers Ministry International. We thank you for this opportunity, Lord. We don't take it lightly. We humble ourselves, Lord God, before you, and we say thank you. Thank you for waking us up this morning, Lord God, in our right minds, keeping us safe from COVID, hurt, all hurt, harm, and danger. Lord, encamping your holy angels around us and our family members, those that we love dearly. Lord, we thank you. We give you praise. God, I thank you and I give you praise for my pastor, Lord God, who tends to his wife, Lord, that is not totally coherent. I ask God that you would touch Corinne tonight in the name of Jesus, who is at home in hospice care, and strengthen my pastor, Jack Morris. Strengthen him as only you can do, Lord. You can remedy this problem and turn the whole situation around. But we ask, Lord God, that you give him great grace, Lord God. Lord, bless him. Bless her, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. Strengthen him and strengthen her. Look upon them with your grace and your mercy this afternoon, in Jesus' name. So, Father, our role as priests, you have given us a role as priests, and we thank you. Lord, we ask that you would draw people to this broadcast live tonight and even on demand. We ask, God, that it would go out in the airwaves and penetrate the darkness and pierce the darkness, oh God, that it would move throughout the nations, Lord God, almost 100 nations that tune in from time to time or on demand. We thank you, Lord God, that you've traveled this word this far. We're not big name people, Lord God. We don't have the finances to get into all these other countries. But, Lord, you've done this. You've done this, Lord, and our faces aren't seen, Lord God, just our voices are heard. And we ask, God, that you would bless tonight's podcast, Lord. We ask, God, that our words would go out into the airwaves, Lord God, that somebody would be ministered to, saved, set free, delivered, happy, joyful, and blessed that they heard some portion or all of this broadcast. We thank you and we give you praise. Bless every speaker. Bless Dr. Patrick Oben, his wife, his daughters, his department, where he works. Bless all of those that are connected to him on his job. Bless him, Lord God. Strengthen him. Keep your holy angels encamped around them and their home, Lord God, and the surrounding area that they live in. Use him tonight for your honor and your glory in the name of Jesus. Lord, we plead the blood of Jesus tonight. We apply the blood to this broadcast. We apply the blood of Jesus to our lives, to this broadcast. We thank you, Lord, that the blood still works, that there's power in the blood of Jesus, that without the shedding of your blood, there would be no forgiveness of our sins. So, God, we right now ask that you would forgive us, Lord God, of our sins. Wash us in your precious blood. Cleanse us from all unrighteousness, Lord. Create in us clean hearts and renew right spirits within us, like David cried out to you in Jesus' name. And we thank you. Lord, we ask that you would man your holy angels around every airwave and frequency this evening, Lord God, that this podcast would go through, Lord, would penetrate the darkness, penetrate the airwaves, that nobody would be mad but the devil. Father, we thank you. We give you praise. Strengthen us tonight. Lord, we ask that every word that we speak this evening would glorify you, that you would be happy, that you would be blessed, and that all of those, Lord God, that you make sure this word gets to their mind, their heart, and in their spirit, Lord, that they would be blessed as well. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I just thank God for the shofar. I got a couple of them, and it took me so long to learn how to get my wind into the shofar to make a sound. And the shofar is a battle cry. It gets God's attention. And sometimes on certain broadcasts, all I want God to hear in the opening of this broadcast is his shofar, the sound of a ram's horn. So I bless God tonight. I give him all the praise, honor, and all the glory. And I just love this title, this topic. Dr. Patrick Oben, my spiritual son, how you doing this evening?
Hi, Angelus Linda. I'm doing great. Always good to be here.
Good to have you on the broadcast. It's always an honor. Yeah. I just glean on every word that you say. God bless you.
Amen. Amen. No, thank you so much. Always, always, indeed, such a joy to be here. And speaking on our role as priest, I believe, you know, this is it's such a fundamental aspect of our Christian life that it's critical for everyone, ministers and those who are not in formal ministry, every single believer, just to understand what God really has to say about this. I see we have Prophet Pastor Ivan is coming, and then we have Apostle Jermaine. So I know this is going to be such a blessing. God bless you all. Thank you so much for just ministering and lifting up God's people in your spirit. So, well, let me share very briefly and very quickly. I might have to leave a little bit earlier than I anticipated. Revelation chapter number 1 and verse 6, talking about our role as priest. It's a very popular passage of scripture that God has made us kings and priests unto God. He's made us kings and priests. So today we are focusing on the second aspect. What is our role as priests? And it's really fascinating. I've always grown up in Christianity, always fascinated by the idea of a priest. You know, we are priests unto God. I've said it not until the Lord really began showing me, giving me an understanding of what it really meant to be a priest. Not just a theological understanding of it, but, you know, practically what it means. Let me put it this way. What does God expect of you and me as his priest? It's not just a title. It's not just some formal label, spiritual label that is exciting. There is an activity, so to speak. There's an activity associated with that title. And that's what we want to talk about today, our role as priests. What does God expect when he tells us that we are his priest? Does he want us to offer sacrifices like the priest of the Old Testament did? Is it intercession? In fact, let me begin by stating that. I always heard our role as priest in the context of intercession. It's like in my, you know, just growing up as a Christian, each time I heard about priesthood, I often hear it in the context of, you know, going to intercede for somebody. I love prayer. I pray. I love prayer. It's so critical for you as a believer and as a minister. And prayer is so fundamental when it comes to interceding for others. You know, you go before God and stand in the gap. Right, you're praying for a nation, praying for an environment, praying for your neighborhood, praying for that loved one. So most often I heard the teaching about priesthood in the context of intercession. So what happened? For me, priesthood was representing somebody, like the high priest in the Old Testament had the names of the 12 tribes of Israel, you know, on the effort, right? The 12 tribes of Israel, the different gemstones were written on the high priest's heart, and he would take that, you know, with the names of Israel on his heart, take them before the Lord, standing in the gap. Unfortunately, though intercession is part of our priestly duties, intercession and praying and representing people is not the primary meaning of priesthood in the New Testament. Begin by, you know, looking at the idea of priest in the Old Testament. Evangelist Linda mentioned a devotional I wrote about that. You can check it out on our website. But just to summarize what is written there, in the Old Testament, the structure of the priesthood, the Levitical priesthood, there was a high priest, that would, you know, he had very, very precise role. He was the one who had this fancy clothing from the crown of his head to the sole of his feet, who really went into the Holy of Holies, the presence of God. He was the only one who was permitted to get into the Holy of Holies. And on the Day of Atonement, he had to get into that holy place. In fact, if in the scripture will tell us he had to have bells on his robe, because if he goes in there and he dies because of his sin, they are going to, nobody dares enter that place. They had to pull him out. And then under the high priest, we had the different priests. They had their little bonnets on their heads. They had their own clothing. They were, in fact, the scripture tells us in Exodus, when their dressing was being made, they were created, they were designed for beauty and for glory. Each time I read that, it's so fascinating. The dressing of the high priest and the dressing of the other priest associated with the high priest, under the high priest, they were so beautifully designed. They were lovable, beautiful. And you can tell that those clothings, they represent the salvation of God's people today. They built the righteousness, robes of righteousness. They were a shadow of what the real believer is. Nobody questions who the real high priest is, right? He was Jesus. And today he still is at the very right hand of God, interceding for us. Nobody has that role of Jesus. He is the high priest right there. Now, today we're going to talk about what God tells us, that we are kings and priests. So he called them Aaron. They had the priest. The high priest came from him. And then you had other priests. You had other priests there. So that's where we belong. And the Lord says, we as believers in Christ, we are his priest. We are his priest. So in the Old Testament, the priests were only from one specific tribe. They were from a particular class. That's the first thing. Not everybody could be a priest. Even if you had a good heart, you really had a heart to serve God. No, it had to come from the tribe of Levi, from the tribe of Aaron. They had to come that way. In fact, the high priest had to only come from the family of the Kohathites. So it wasn't a matter of your sincerity. You had to be under that lineage for you to be a priest. So you had to be by the law. It was reserved for a special class. It might be tempting to think that today it's also like intercessors, just like I mentioned. They are the priest. So you now understand where I'm going to with this. No, there is no special class in the New Testament that is reserved for priests, not ministers and not intercessors. So important to keep that in mind. The second thing that we have to keep in mind, not just drawing from the Levitical priesthood in the Old Testament, I already made mention of it, is the representative aspect of their duties. They had to stand in the gap for the people. In other words, the people did not have access to God. When the people brought their offerings, they brought their offerings to the priest. And the priest take those offerings to God. They were the middleman, so to speak. Today, that is not the case. That's the reason why I told you that the idea that priesthood is like a middleman today in the body of Christ, that as intercessors, we are the ones that stand in the gap. It came from the Old Testament, obviously. But failure to recognize a shift from the old to the new is responsible for many of the problems and misunderstandings we have in the body of Christ, obviously, when you have to pull things from the Old Testament. So the priest had to be a representation. Today, the veil of the temple was torn on that day that Jesus died. Every single believer has access to the presence. That doesn't mean God doesn't have ministers. Oh, no, it doesn't. That's a separate issue. I heard somebody once said, you know what? We all have the Holy Ghost. We all have the Spirit of God. So God doesn't need pastors. We don't need pastors. And we don't. That is an anti-biblical view in Christianity. Please don't ever entertain such a thing as that. God has pastors, he has apostles, he has prophets, evangelists, teachers, and pastors. God still has that grace. He still has ministers. So that is a separate issue. We don't have to, you know, we don't get it confused. So we don't mix up things here, right? However, that doesn't mean the minister serves as a representation or as a middleman the way it used to be in the Old Testament. If we fail to distinguish this truth, as Paul says, rightly dividing the word of God, failure to know, you know, God has given me the grace to understand certain things in the scripture. One of the things he's shown me is the importance of knowing what is what. Let me tell you what that means. In other words, you know which part is which part. You don't confuse the major things from the minor. You don't take one thing and apply it to the other thing. That is wisdom. And that wisdom comes from the Spirit. I just give you an example. Just imagine somebody comes today and say, oh, no, I still have to go through my pastor in everything to touch God. There are Christians that still believe that wrong, right? Why? Because they think that, okay, Ephesians chapter 4 has told us that there are apostles and prophets and all of that. It's failing to see what God is saying in each text. I mean, they have that representative role. Today, it's not the same. Yeah, there's going to be ministers who are interceding, standing in the gap. God still uses us like that. Some of us listening to me, you are the pivotal point in your family. In other words, you are the one standing in the gap in your family. As an intercessor, you are the one that stands on that watchtower. If you stop praying, things will go wrong in your family. Yes, God still works like that. But we have to understand everything in context. Right. So the priest in the Old Testament, the third thing that is so critical, not the last, but just time's sake to continue, is they had to bring in physical sacrifices. They had to bring in animal sacrifices, plant-based sacrifices. They had to bring those sacrifices to God. And John chapter 4 tells us very clearly, Jesus told us that the real worship is not in those ceremonial things. And if we go to the book of Peter, I love it. It's just such a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful scripture. Evangelist Linda already talked about it. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. And then I'll go back to the verse I want to read earlier. It says, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. Royal, that's king and priest again. We are a royal priesthood. And a holy nation, a peculiar people. To do what? That is what I want you to pick here. He says you are a royal priesthood. To do what? What is your role as a priest? He says that you may shew forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. This is your priestly duty. This verse that we love quoting so much. The duty of a priest is mentioned right there. Let me read in the Amplified Version. He says, but you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a dedicated nation, God's own purchased special people. That, do you see that there? That demonstrative pronoun, that, is telling you this is the purpose. This is why you are called a royal priesthood, that you may show forth the wonderful deeds and display the virtues and perfections of he who had called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. What a beautiful text. And that is verse 9. If you go up to verse 5, before Peter spoke about what he said in verse 9, in verse 5, he began the teaching on priests. And this is what he said. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5. He says, ye also as lively stones. Let me read in an easier version, ESV. It says, you yourselves, like living stone, you are being built up a spiritual house. Do you know what that spiritual house is? The temple. Do you not begin to see the connection? The priests were those who had the charge of taking care of the temple. That temple in the Old Testament is this spiritual house here. And that spiritual house is you and me. It says, to be a holy priesthood, to do what? You see, your role as a priest. It says to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Christ Jesus. Oh, what a beautiful text. To do what? Offer up spiritual. He didn't just say sacrifices. He makes a distinction between the offerings and the sacrifices of the priest in the Old Testament from the offerings and the sacrifices of the priest today. In fact, the writer of Hebrews, speaking about the high priest, he says, every priest is choosing amongst men to stand before men. He said that. And then he goes further and says, he must have something to offer. The priest must have something to offer. So the centrality of our role as priests has to do with having a sacrifice to offer to God. That is so crucial. That is so key, so important. You have a sacrifice that you have to bring before the Father. In other words, as a priest, you must have something to offer. Jesus had his own blood he had to offer to God. The question is, what do you have to offer in Christ? So as a priest, there is something in your hand. It's a sacrifice that you have to offer. And let me take this again one step further just to explain these sacrifices. You know, let me read just very quickly. Hebrews chapter 13, this beautiful, just beautiful, beautiful verse of the sacrifice of praise. Let me read verse 15. I want you to take note of what Peter said in 1 Peter 2:5. It says, we offer up spiritual sacrifices, number one, and those spiritual sacrifices are offered up through Jesus Christ, the high priest, because we are under the priesthood of Jesus. So we bring spiritual sacrifices. They are offered through Jesus Christ, and they are acceptable to God. Three things there that I want you to take note of. You have a spiritual sacrifice, and those sacrifices are through Jesus Christ, and those sacrifices, they are acceptable to God. If you have that in mind, Hebrews chapter 13, verse 15, it says, by him, therefore, by who? The high priest. Do you see? We are there. We are under him. He, as the high priest, stands in the presence of God on our behalf. He is the only mediator. It says, by him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise. Oh, glory to God. Not a dead animal that is upon an altar. It says, come with a sacrifice of praise to God continually. Yes. Now, this word, continually, if you study the Old Testament, you're familiar with the burnt offerings that was offered in the morning and in the evening, you discover that this word is coming from there. Because God had told them, the burnt offerings of the morning and the evening, they should never stop. It should always, the fire should always be burning. That offering should never stop. Here is God using those words again. It's saying that the sacrifice of praise, in other words, spiritual sacrifices, they should be offered to him continually. The fruit of our lips giving thanks unto his name. You see those three things there? It's by Jesus. We have a sacrifice. It's a spiritual sacrifice. In this text, the specific sacrifice is the sacrifice of, it doesn't mean that's all. There is more. But here, it's talking about the sacrifice of praise. So we have a sacrifice. And we bring that sacrifice, we come to bless him. Now let me go to Romans chapter number 12. Right, tying a lot of scriptures there. Romans chapter number 12, very popular verse. We all know it. It's wonderful. You know, let me read from verse 1. It says, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice. You know, as I read this, I just want you to see the contrast between the old and the new. Present who? Present what? Your body. The bodies of the animals were presented to God on an altar dead. They were dead. Here he's saying that, God is saying that, I don't want dead bodies. I want living bodies.
Hallelujah.
I don't want dead bodies. I want living bodies. He says, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your spiritual worship.
a lot of times I'd read this scripture, I always thought that it meant it was an exhortation for us to just live holy and righteous. And that is true. It's in this verse, because that's really what God, Paul was saying here. It was really embedded in it. Now listen to me. Let me go one step beyond that. The purpose of the burnt offerings, there was a sin offering that was meant to atone for sin. None of us can know who that sin offering is or what it is, right? There's just one sin offering, and that's Jesus. There is not a separate sin offering. There is not a second one. There is no duplicate of his work. So there is the purpose of the sacrifice upon the altar, that sin offering upon the altar to atone for sin, and the blood was taken into the sanctuary and put on the four horns of the altar. And on the Day of Atonement, that blood was taken into the Holy of Holies and sprinkled inside the Holy of Holies. That blood has no duplicate. That blood cannot be done by any minister nor any believer. That blood is the blood of Christ. It cannot be shed again. It was shed once. So the sin offering cannot be repeated. But there were sacrifices. But the one that is so captivating that I've been trying to pull that thread is the burnt offerings. For example, it says Jesus offered up himself as a sweet-smelling aroma, the burnt offerings. The one crucial aspect of an offering in the Old Testament is sacrifice. It's something, it's a gift that you give somebody that makes the person pleased and happy. It's a gift that you present to somebody and the person is pleased. In fact, you would remember the gods of the Old Testament, those idols, they used to appease them. What does it mean to appease? In other words, to make them happy. If you make them happy, they bless you. That was the idea. And you see that in the Old Testament equally. There are times where, you know, for example, when the plague hit and the children of Israel were dying, Moses told Aaron, quick, put incense on it and go and stand between the dead and the living. What was the purpose of that incense? To appease the wrath of God. God smelled an incense. I'm telling you, he smelled a scent and he was appeased. It's just like Paul speaking, or the writer of Hebrews speaking, he says that it was impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sin. But at that time, God had made it so that the blood of bulls and goats to deal with the sins of the people. But it was a shadow. He says, sacrifices and burnt offerings, thou wouldest not. A body has thou prepared for me. God did not desire the sacrifices of those animals. The only reason he had it is because he was waiting for his son to come. And here is Aaron taking a censer, putting incense in it, and stands in the presence of, you know, God's people somewhere dying and somewhere alive. And the incense, God smelled the incense and he was pleased. The Bible says Noah offered, you know, he took of the animals after the flood. He offered them and God smelled the smell of those offerings and he was pleased. Animals! And listen to something here. In the New Testament, do you know that the incense, for example, the incense, that incense is the prayer of God's people. The incense was a shadow of God's people prayer. It says that, let the lifting up of my hands be as the evening sacrifice. Oh, the burnt offerings. And let my prayer be as the incense before you. You see that in the book of Revelation. The prayer represents, the incense represents the prayer of the people of God. Do you see what that is telling you? That when you pray, irrespective of the purpose of the prayer, it might be intercession, like I said, yeah. It might be prayer of petition, oh God, do something for me. But your prayer is a sweet-smelling savour to God. When the Lord revealed this to me, it changed my prayer life. The day
Hallelujah.
You discover that every time you get on your knees to pray, irrespective of what you are praying about, your fellowship with God by itself is an offering, no stress.
Mm-hmm.
You are his priest. I'm telling you, he was persevering with the priest of the Old Testament waiting for you. For you. He was waiting for you. Romans chapter 12 tells us, it says, present your bodies as a living sacrifice. God doesn't want a dead animal. And that living sacrifice is not for a sin offering. That's not what it is. It is an offering that brings delight and pleasure to the Father. In other words, your life is a sweet aroma to God. He is pleased. He is happy. He is delighted in you. Whatever you do, this, in fact, this verse, it tells us when before Jesus ever performed a single miracle, the Lord came to him, the Father came to him on the day of his baptism. You are my beloved son. In you I am well pleased. Before he ever started ministry. And do you know what grace is? Grace is partaking in the sonship of Christ. God brings us into the image, into the nature of his son. He brings, in other words, he makes us his son, Jesus. That same thing that God saw in Jesus and says, in you I am well pleased. That is what he sees in us. And we are the delight of his soul. Priest unto God. However, that offering, obviously, Jesus later on did things that the Father wanted. And he told us that the Father is happy with me because I always do what he wants. So yes, there is obedience. To it. It's not everything that we do that God loves, obviously, right? God doesn't like sin. We displease him when we sin. So that's a separate issue, right? It's a separate issue. The sacrifice had to be holy. It had to be acceptable. But the purpose of the sacrifice, not the holiness of it, but it had to be holy for it to be acceptable. But whenever it's acceptable, I want you to think about the sacrifice of Cain and Abel. Right? Cain offered something that wasn't acceptable to God. And Abel offered something that pleased God. God was pleased with his sacrifice. It was not the holiness of it that was the pleasure of God. But it had to, Cain did something that God did not like. That's why God rejected his sacrifice. Theologians and Bible scholars, they are still wrestling what God didn't really like. But that's not the point here. What I'm saying, irrespective of it, there was something about Cain's sacrifice that didn't really meet God's standards. Right? Some have said it's blood or whatever. Whatever it is, that's not the point, as I said. However, it had to meet God's standards for it to do its purpose. The purpose of the sacrifice was not for it to be holy. Delight. To God. Your life is a delight to the Father. As a priest to God, our priesthood describes our life, our activities, whatever we do, that everything comes up as an offering that pleases God. That's the reason why Peter could say in 1 Peter 2 verse 9 that as royal priests, when we leave, we bring we declare the praises of God. God looks at you and says, that's my girl. Hallelujah. That's my little boy right there. You are a delight to the Father. In other words, you live to please him. Whatever you do, that's why you get up in the morning. Your number one desire should be to please the Father. That is your role as a priest. It has nothing to do with your ministry. When ministry is done, after all the teaching and the preaching and the prophesying and the evangelizing, when we cross over to the other side, do you know what? We are going to be kings and priests. There's going to be no prophets, no teachers, no evangelists, no pastors there. But we are going to function as the priest of God. It's just like worship. It
Hallelujah.
Doesn't end here. It doesn't end here. So worship is beyond salvation. It's bigger than salvation. It's the same thing about your priesthood. the priesthood God has given you, you are going to be a delight, an eternal delight to the Father. Everything you do, you bring delight to him. That's the reason why he says to your bodies, your whole life. Your whole life. You get up in the morning, whether you are singing, whether you are praying, whether you go to work, whether you come back, your entire life should be like an offering, perpetually offered to the Father, bringing delight and pleasure to him. Call this in the devotional I mentioned. I call it, it's like the general offering to God. Our entire life. Our entire life, including your ministry, including your personal life, including your family. Every single thing about you is designed for the Father. However,
amen.
Hebrews chapter 13, verse 15, the one I just read, I call it a specific aspect, the spiritual sacrifices in the particular sense. That is where worship and praise and thanksgiving come in. In fact, that verse is so critical. Let me go back to it and read it. Let me go back to it and read it. The spiritual sacrifices. It says, through him then, let us continually offer. Do you see those words coming back? Peter says spiritual sacrifices. Let us offer. Here the Hebrew says continually offer. A sacrifice of praise to God. Here he clearly mentions and labels what the sacrifice is. He calls it the sacrifice of praise. Praise to God is an offering. Worship is an offering. Thanksgiving is an offering. In fact, this verse, Hebrews, the writer, took it from Hosea chapter 14 and verse 2. Where Hosea was speaking, he says, take with you words. He says, take words. Oh, praise the Lord. I think I should read that. This is so beautiful. I just, let me read it. Every one of us. Yeah. Listen to this. Hebrews, Hosea chapter number 14 and verse 2. This is where Hebrews chapter 13 verse 15 is coming from. He took it from the prophet. The prophet says, take with you words. Don't take a sheep. Don't take a lamb. Don't take a cow. Take words. I'm telling you, the Lord changed my life of praise and worship. I never knew that each time you open your mouth and say, Lord, I praise you, it is better than all the sheep ever offered in the Old Testament.
Hallelujah.
Oh, praise the Lord. I'm telling you, every time you open your mouth and say, Lord, I bless you, the Holy Ghost is in your spirit. In other words, you have been sanctified. Jesus has brought you in. And you are the true worshiper. You are the real thing God is waiting for. And each time you bring that offering, you say, Lord, I praise you. Immediately those words come out of your mouth. Those words, they are treasures in the realm of the spirit. This is a prophet speaking here prophetically. Of course, this wasn't fulfilled in the days of the Jews. Who's talking about us? It says, take words. Return to the Lord and say to him, take away all iniquity, except what is good. And we will pay with the bulls, the vows of our lips. Do you see what he says here? He says that the words of our mouth, they are bulls. In other words, the sheep of the Old Testament, they are the words of our mouth. Oh, glory to God. He calls here the bulls. The things that have come out of our mouth. You can tell that this wasn't just vows, because Hebrews chapter 13 puts it in context, that it was not just, oh God, I vow to you. No, he was talking about the sacrifice of praise. That the words of your mouth, they are like lamps. Each time you say, Lord, I worship you, you have just brought a lamb to the altar and offered it to the Father. The real one he wants.
Mm-hmm. Hallelujah.
Do you see what God has in mind when he says you are a priest? That your very life, if you understand what I'm telling you, listen to me. Praise, your life continually will be, your heart will be a continual altar of worship and praise and prayer. Every single time, When I learned it, I started learning that you can be in fellowship with God 24/7. Every day, even whether you're at work, or maybe you are just driving, maybe you're doing something, you can, Lord, I bless you. Lord, I give you praise. You are speaking. Nobody might even be hearing you. 24 hours communion. If you want to know God's presence, listen to what I'm telling you. Learn to make your heart an altar of perpetual praise and worship and communion in prayer with the Father. Don't just wait for your time of prayer with him in the morning or in the evening. No. You are a priest unto God. Your entire life is to be a delight of the Father. That's the reason why sin has no place in you. Right? Because no, you can't. It just cannot. Because you are supposed to be a delight of the Father. Hallelujah. God bless you. I know you're going to listen to more of this as God's servants will come on. Linda, God bless you. Thank you so much for always having me. I wish I could have stayed till the end, but you understand I have to go on to a live Bible study. Thank you, and God bless you.
God bless you, Patrick. Every second that you can be on the broadcast is an honor and a blessing to us that are listening. It's always revelation, and it's always anointed. God bless you, and God bless you on your Bible study tonight. Well, praise the Lord. I know I got mine in. It really helps me to know that even when I'm driving my car and I say, Lord, I thank you. Lord, I bless your holy name. What Patrick said, it's an offering, and God receives it as an offering. I just give him praise. I want to read Revelation 1:6. And God has made us to be a kingdom and priests to serve his God and Father. To him be glory and power forever and ever. Amen. What a powerful statement that God has made us. He has made us to be a kingdom and priests to serve him and God the Father. I really like 1 Peter chapter 2. He really expounds and says so much to us, and I'm going to read it from the English Standard Version, verse 4 to 10. And as you come to him, a living stone rejected by men, but in the sight of God, chosen and precious, you yourselves, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house. I wonder if we were more conscious of just what this says, being built up as a spiritual house. If we were more conscious of that word, how we would change our behavior, how we would change what we say and what we do. A spiritual house can be a lot of things. It could be haunted. It could be torn down. It could be demolished. But this says being built up as a spiritual house. Hallelujah. A house that glorifies God, a house where the Holy Spirit dwells. To be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For it stands in Scripture. It's something what Patrick just brought out about spiritual sacrifices. You know, I never thought that giving God praise was a sacrifice. I just want to do it. I just want to give him praise. But the Bible talks about sacrifices of praise because there are times where we're tried and stretched that it's hard to give him praise. But it kind of breaks that yoke when we break through in praise to God and just give it all to him. So it says, behold, I am laying in Zion a stone, a cornerstone chosen and precious, and whoever believes in him will not be put to shame. So the honor is for you who believe, but for those who do not believe, the stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. I've read so many of Prophet Jermaine's posts on Facebook, and some pertaining to leaders and leadership. And this reminds me what it says right here. I am laying in Zion a stone, a cornerstone chosen and precious, and whoever believes in him will not be put to shame. I've never in my life seen so many church leaders that use their leadership, their voice, that brings shame to other people, that brings shame to the Word of God. After all the years that they have been built up and raised up, that they would use their voice to say, it's okay if you don't tithe anymore. And even if they don't do it over the pulpit and they do it behind closed doors, doing things that bring shame to somebody in the congregation or shame to somebody in the body of Christ, bringing shame to them that they would never want that shame to come to themselves. It says, so the honor is for you who believe. So the honor is for you who believe. And for those who do not believe, the stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. And a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. You know, it may come a surprise to a lot of us, and a lot of us, I know I have been naive enough to believe that if you are center pulpit, if you're on TV, if you're at big conferences, if you have big titles, that none of this would ever happen from you, that these things that would cause offense, or that you yourself would become a stumbling block. The Bible speaks about it right here. And aside from those that have caused and have allowed their behavior to become like that, there's verse 9 that says, But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. When God calls me that, and I know that, and I have known it, I've been saved for 41 years, and I've heard this scripture so many times, not often enough, especially not lately, that this is how God's word applies to me and applies to you. A people for his own possession, knowing that I'm God's possession, I could write a book about people that I would have never thought would use lies and hate and gossip and all kinds of ungodly things said about me or other people, that they would pass them around like it was nothing. When God says that I am his own possession, I am a royal priesthood, I am a chosen race, I am part of a holy nation, and that's not holy, what is going on and has been going on in the body of Christ for so long. I see posts from leaders, like I was saying, Prophet Jermaine, I've seen his posts and other posts from leaders with character and integrity that speak against this. They might not say these exact words, but it applies to the same thing. That you may proclaim the excellences of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. You know, there are some people that just hate light because they don't want to be exposed. They hate light. They don't walk in the light as he is in the light. They don't have fellowship with him because they're in darkness. They don't like the light that's in your life because, you know, a little bit of light in a dark room just exposes the darkness. And people that have something to hide, they don't want light, especially if you know what they're hiding. But what about what God knows? It says, once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you were not, you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Knowing this, why would I want to go back to that? Why would I want to go back to not being God's people, not being one of God's possessions? Why would I want to go back to that? Why would I want to lower my standards? Why wouldn't I want this scripture to apply to me? Hallelujah. I think this is so appropriate right now, because last week the broadcast was on the five wise virgins watch the gates. And it was this, once we get a hold of, this is what God says about us. This is what he says about me in spite of what you say about me. This is what he says about me in spite of the hate mail that you read all the time and you send out to everybody. This is what God says about us. I wouldn't think that God wouldn't say that about you until you demonstrate the opposite in your behavior. I believe God. Hallelujah. I trust him. I thank him. And just the fact that I could say those words right now is a sweet-smelling fragrance, aroma to him. An offering, hallelujah, that I give him praise, honor, and all the glory. In Exodus 19, verse 3, it says, while Moses went up to God, the Lord called to him out of the mountain, saying, thus you shall say to the house of Jacob and tell the people of Israel, you yourselves have seen what I did to the Egyptians and how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now, therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, you shall be my treasured possession among all peoples, for all the earth is mine, and you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words that you shall speak, Moses, to the people of Israel. I'm telling you, this speaks directly to me. Isn't it something that they prefer to have a man go speak to God than God speak directly to him, to them? I want God to speak directly to me. People say God doesn't speak like that all the time. Yes, he does. He speaks like that through his word, and he speaks like that through the Ruach HaKodesh to your spirit. Yes, he does. He's alive. That's proof that he's alive. We can dialogue in prayer. I don't just do all the talking. I want him to talk back to me. And I think that when God told Moses to tell his people to remember what he did for them concerning the Egyptians and tell them to obey his voice, that's the one of the biggest problems since Adam. Adam didn't obey the voice of God. He was the main man of God. Nobody existed on earth but him. And he did not obey what God said. And he did not repent. That's mightily important to God, that when he tells us something, to obey him. Because when we don't obey him, it affects a world of people. It affected every life on this earth that Adam disobeyed. When God tells us to do something, we are his treasured possession. And he tells us to do something and we disobey. There's so many people whose destinies, whose lives, whose hearts are at stake. So many people are affected by people of God that disobey God. That's scary. Because had the five foolish virgins known what they needed to get into the door when the bridegroom came, they'd have had it. That shows us distinctively that there is another church other than the wise church, that there's the backslidden church and the filled with the Holy Ghost church, that there's a church trying to buy the anointing and the church that has the anointing. There's the part of the church that's the church that's not ready for the rapture and the other part that's ready for the rapture. There's a part that doesn't even believe in the rapture and a part that believes in the rapture. That parable represents these end times. And I have to be sure the way the enemy comes up against me to try to destroy me, to try to destroy my character, my integrity, my life. Somebody anonymously could tell a whole host of church leaders something about you, and they'll all believe it because it's about you, not them. And they'll all pass it around, and they'll all look down on you. And they never say a word to you. They just believe a lie. The lie came to them, and they bear false witness against you by passing it around. Do you think they're rapture ready? Mm-mm. That's just another church whose lamps are out. I'm not going to be fending for oil when God cracks the sky, because I'm going to maintain my oil in my spirit before the Lord as his treasured possession. I want to keep his covenant. God makes a covenant with his people. People are so into themselves, they don't get it, what covenant means. So he says to Moses, tell them that they are my treasured possession. Hallelujah. I just love that. And you shall be to me a kingdom of priests, a holy nation. Patrick said it so well. I'm telling you, it's not by choice that I would speak after him, because he's so full of revelation and the anointing. And I just give God praise. I give him praise, honor, and glory. I think this is an exceptional call this evening to God's people, spelled out in his word of what he thinks of us. I think that for a minister to get in a pulpit and say we're all sinners, I just want to shout out back at that person every time I hear him say it and say, I'm not a sinner. I actually went to the pastor about him, this minister that keeps saying this. And I pulled out from the scriptures all the scriptures where God calls us his saints. There is no scripture in the Bible where God calls us sinners. That's not even being humble. That's being stupid. And now the minister feels that I'm challenging him. I'm not challenging him. I just know what the Word of God says. And I thank God that we are his priests, men and women. Back then, it was just men. Boy, they had a role that was life-threatening. And now Jesus made it so simple for us to just honor him in our lives, in our minds, in our hearts, in our bodies. You can't look at somebody naked through technology and say that you're honoring God. You can't. You distinguish yourself different from the rest when your behavior says that's what you do every day. I don't want to touch it. We'll never come close to holiness as God represents holiness. But looks on us and calls us a holy nation. So I'm going to, I just want to take a minute out to give a shout out to some of these nations that listen in and have been listening in. I'm not going to go through all of them, but I just want to thank them. I know I haven't broadcast for a while, and I'm getting back into the swing of things. God is bringing this podcast back to life, and this is a season for that. Actually, I want to do another level of ministry with the podcast that would just be a lot different from this, but it's in the making. But I just want to give a shout out to China and Mexico and Mongolia, Peru, Brazil, Australia, the United States of America, Bangladesh, Germany, Netherlands, Togo. We give God all the praise, honor, and glory for you. We send up sacrifices of praise for you right now. Tobago, Norway, Ireland, South Korea, UK, London, Israel, Ghana, Trinidad, Vietnam, Sweden, and Egypt, the Republic of Serbia, Canada, South Africa, Tanzania. We give God praise and honor and glory for you. We bless the name of the Lord for drawing you to this podcast, this ministry. We plead the blood of Jesus over Thailand, Pakistan, Dubai, South Africa, Kenya, the Philippines, India, Greece, New Zealand, Belgium, Nigeria, Malaysia, Argentina, Russia. My God, Lord, we know what your Bible says in the last days about Russia. And we ask God that you would breathe upon the Ukrainian nation and give them your shalom, peace, guidance, and protection, Lord God. Those Christians there will still bring up a praise to you, a sweet-smelling aroma coming out of the Ukraine and all that they're going through right now. We ask God that you would bless them. Somalia, New Zealand, India, Greece, Croatia, Barbados, Japan, we thank you for joining us when you can. Argentina, Jamaica, Ivory Coast, Namibia, Venezuela, Turkey, Nicaragua, Slovakia, and any other nation that I have forgot or did not call out, especially the Philippines. Hallelujah. We give God all the praise, honor, and glory for you. So I just want to see if Prophet Benjamin has called in yet. Prophet Benjamin, are you there yet? Are you on the line? Okay, he said 8:15. I'll give him one more minute. He's got ministry. And then Prophet Pastor Jermaine, I haven't had him on the broadcast in such a long time, and I'm just honored that he has time to grace us with his presence and give us a word from the Lord. An anointed word on this topic. We all have a role in life. We have a role as mother, father, grandma, nana, granny, me mom. We have a role as teachers. We have a role as ministers, evangelists. But this is a role of a priest that God looks upon us, distinguishes us from the rest. How dare our behavior not line up with who God calls us? No wonder when that door is open, that rapture comes. And those say, well, I did this in your name and I did that in your name. And he says, yeah, but you never did it without TV cameras on you. And I did this and that healed that person, and I gave to that person, and I preached this all my life for you, Lord Jesus. And he says, depart from me. I never knew you, you worker of iniquity. My God, hallelujah. People that we think we know, that we see a lot in the headlines, on TV, and doing what looks like great things for God. We don't know what they're doing behind closed doors, but God does, and he's long-suffering. Hallelujah. But I know that I'm part of the remnant and the five wise, because I am going to keep my lamp burning, filled with the Ruach HaKodesh, hallelujah, giving God all the praise, honor, and all the glory. Well, I don't have a, wait a minute, Yes, I do. I have a text message. Oh, I have. Okay. Prophet Benjamin, I just saw God bless you. I just saw this text message at the top of my phone. I'm going to let you give your word right now. We've been waiting for you. God bless you, sir.
God bless you. Glory to God. We give God praise. Amen. Glory to God. First of all, to God. Amen. To God be all the glory. We thank God. Amen. For my friend here. Amen. Glory to God. Evangelist Cia Linda Cazares. Hope I said it right. Amen. Glory be to God. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Glory to God. I thank God for you. Amen. And I thank God for your ministry and thank God for you allowing me the opportunity for this assignment. Amen. Glory be to God. And it's been a long time since I've been on your broadcast, but amen. God, timing is always perfect. Amen. Glory to God. But we want to talk about tonight, and I also want to give honor. Amen. Glory be to God. I want to give honor. All right. Glory to God. So, yeah, I'm here. Glory to God.
Okay.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. So we want to, amen, glory to God. I want to give honor to those who are listening, whether they're connected to my ministry, in the ministry. I want to also give honor to my pastor, Apostle Mary Baxter. She may be on the line. Amen. Glory to God. But I thank God for each and every one of you. So we want to talk about this. Glory to God. Amen. Our role as priests. And basically what the Lord had me do is he had me to break down the word priest, you know, each letter, and giving a synopsis of each letter. Amen. Glory to God. But I want to go to the scripture that's found in the book of 1 Peter, chapter 2, verse 9, where it says, "But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who have called you out of darkness into the marvelous light." Amen. Glory to God. Now, what is a priest? A priest is a person, having the authority to perform and administer religious rites. Now, I really don't deal, glory to God, in religion. Amen, glory to God, but I'm more so, I like to deal with the move of God. And so I believe, glory to God, the woman of God said something about the remnant. God's remnant, I believe, are a group of people, glory to God, that are able, amen, to cause a move of God to take place wherever they are at. I also believe that as the remnant, glory to God, that we are glory carriers. Amen. We make the difference wherever we go, whatever we do. Amen. For the kingdom of God. So one of the points that God wanted me to share, glory to God, on tonight is number one, he says, being a priest means that you must protect your family, your community, your ministry, your business, the body of Christ, your neighborhood, your finances, yourself, etc., by applying wisdom, knowledge, and understanding along with strategy for successful implementation. Amen. Glory be to God. So as a priest, you have to be a protector. You have to protect. Glory be to God. Number two, Amande. Yes, God. Isha. Glory to God. Number two, as a priest, there must be restoration of moral values, also integrity, and the possession of all things that have been degraded by negative affluence and influence by people and things that have complied, or rather who have competed, glory to God, that have corrupted what God initiated for good and not bad. Amen. So let me read that one again. As a priest, there must be restoration of moral values, integrity, and possession of all things that have been degraded by negative affluence and influence by people and things that have corrupted what God initiated. Glory to God, Ishamande, for good and not bad. Number three, as priests, inspiration is needed all around us with, glory to God, with so much pain and suffering and affliction and so forth and so on. So we must be the light that makes a difference in dark and a gross world we live in. My God. Number four, glory to God, as priests, we must operate in excellence in all that we do, for this is the will of God concerning us. Glory to God.
Amen.
There's a scripture in the Bible that says, glory to God, that when we operate in the spirit of excellence, we understand all things. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Number five, as priests, we must be strong and stay strong. There are many that need and rely on our strength, so we must be in a strong place, even when weakness is around us. Glory be to God. When I was growing up, and my mother, she's transitioned almost 20 years ago, but a lot of times my mother would have me do stuff for her, which I didn't mind doing. And the Lord spoke to me even as I was younger then. I'm still young now. Hello. Glory to God. But he spoke to me. He said, you are a strength to a lot of people. Amen. Glory to God. And I know that we have God in our life, of course, but God has given some people a strength. Glory to God, like an ox. Amen. Glory to God. Sometimes people get strength by just looking at you or just looking at the things that you do. Glory to God, or things that you say. Glory be to God. So once again, as priests, we must be strong and stay strong, and there are many that need and rely on our strength. So we must be in a strong place even when weakness is around us. And even as we're going through this pandemic, a lot of people, glory to God, have passed on. A lot of people have transitioned. A lot of people, glory to God, have lost hope, have lost their faith. And so we who are strong, and I'm talking about the remnant of God, I'm talking about the priests of God, we who are strong, amen, glory to God, we must, glory to God, stay strong and be strong, amen, glory to God, for people, glory to God, in our communities, in our neighborhoods, in our family, glory to God, because people need some type of glory to God, strength, glory to God, as they are, glory to God, going through the different things that are going on. We're dealing with the pandemic. Then there's different viruses that have been released and all this different stuff. So you have to be strong. Number six, as priests, we must be touchable to the point that people can feel comfortable talking to you. Glory to God, sharing most vulnerable moments in their life without being judged or overlooked or degraded, so that, glory to God, so the love of God must be, glory to God, must touch them. Glory to God, even as they're going through, the love of God must touch them. So even as a priest, you have to, glory to God, just like Jesus. Jesus was touchable, amen, because he took on the infirmities that even people on today and even in the past and even in the future will experience. Glory to God. Jesus was touchable. Amen. Glory be to God. Even when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, glory to God, that was his place of suffering. Amen. Glory to God. So Jesus knows. God knows about suffering. Amen. Glory to God. We all have dealt with suffering. Glory to God. And that's one of the fruits of the Spirit, long suffering. You ain't got to look it up. You ain't got to go to Dr. Webster. It means you're going to suffer long. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So you're going to, glory to God, you have to, glory to God, be touchable. Glory to God. Also, you have to be transparent. Amen. Glory to God. Aman she yaba fi kobo she masata yabohosi amande. Glory to God. You have to be transparent. Glory be to God. You got to be real with people. Glory be to God. Amen. Glory to God. Because glory to God, when you're real with people, glory to God, then they'll understand that they can touch you. Glory to God. When I say touch you, they can come to you with different things that they may be dealing with. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. And sometimes you have to have a person that's touchable. Glory to God. And you can talk to without worrying about it going to the north, the south, east, or the west. Talk back to me.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Number seven, this is my last one. Glory to God. As priests, we must be sensitive to the needs of the people and administer what is needed through your God-given abilities and gifts. And know, glory to God, and know you cannot help everybody, but you can help somebody. Amen. God has given us, glory to God. The Bible says that all perfect gifts come from above. They come from God. Amen. And we are, whether we realize it or not, we are answers to each other. Amen. That's just like, glory to God, if I go shopping, glory to God, and I buy $500 worth of food, amen, and I'm coming back in, and I see one of my neighbors, glory to God, and they say to me, I need for you to pray for me. I need some food. I don't got to pray. I'm the answer. I can give them some of the food that I bought. Amen?
Amen.
Glory to God. There's some things, glory to God, you don't have to necessarily pray for when you already have the answer to it. Glory to God. Amen. I got saman devil ho shi aman se. Glory to God. So I want to encourage, amen, and I feel the anointing of God.
Hallelujah.
I feel
Hallelujah.
The power of the Holy Ghost. Shema.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Robo Shina la Masande, Rebe Shama.
Hallelujah.
Robo Shana la Masaya. Glory to God. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
We got to remember, glory to God, as the scripture says once again, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. He said, ah, God, I thank you. Eyabasha. He said that ye should show
Hallelujah.
Forth the praising of him who have called you out of darkness into the marvelous light. And
yes.
even as a priest, glory to God, we are a light. Glory to God, in a dark and gross world, there is so much stuff that is going on. There is so much stuff that is getting ready to come. Amen. And regardless of that, we must be a light. Amen. We must be a light. Glory be to God. We must be a light. So I encourage you, glory to God, if God has called you as a priest, amen, glory to God, be that light that God has called you to be. Glory to God.
Yes.
Be that light that God has called you to be. Be Eyabasha. Be Eyamasi. Be that
Hallelujah.
Light that God has called you to be. Glory to God. Because you're the one that's making the difference. Glory to God, whether it's in your family, whether it's in your community, whether it's in your neighborhood, whether it's on your job, glory to God, in your relationships with people, amen, you are the light. Glory to God, in Jesus' name be blessed.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Thank
Hallelujah.
you, Lord.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Prophet Benjamin. Powerful, powerful word. Thank you. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Bless your name, Jesus.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I thank you for participating tonight. This is my brother in Christ, I'm telling you. I can call, I can text him and get an appointment that day. You know, that
Amen.
Maybe that hour. Yeah. Is 4 o'clock okay with you? Yeah. Okay. And it's just something how everything he said, that's who he is, because I identify him, and we've never met face-to-face. I identify him as the man of God that he just, as the priest of God that he just defined. Hallelujah, hallelujah. It's something when you have, when you can find a man or woman of God that can preach, that's practicing what they preach. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
And you know
Lord.
It.
Thank you, Lord.
And you know it.
Thank you, Lord.
And I'm going to tell you, watch out. because the gift of discernment is rising in the church.
Yes.
And even the youngest believers are going to discern whether you're practicing it or not.
Amen.
Just who you really are. God is going to reveal, expose in these last days. So I thank you, Prophet Benjamin, my friend. I thank you for your pastor. If she's listening, God bless you. Hallelujah. Thank you for joining us. And I'm going to go right into Prophet Jermaine has been faithfully on the line since before the broadcast started. Prophet Benjamin, you have a blessed night. I thank you so much for just being my friend and that you could come on the broadcast and bring some added life to the Word of God in our hearts. God bless you, sir.
Bless you. Love you.
Love you, too. Prophet Jermaine, your mic is open. It's all yours. Thank you for listening. God bless you.
God bless you and praise the Lord. We give honor, first of all, to God, who is the Lord and who is our Lord and Savior. We thank the Lord for his manifold blessings in our life. We give honor, amen, to Evangelist Linda. We thank you and appreciate you for this opportunity. I haven't been on here in a while, but we thank God, amen, that we kept the connection. We give honor, amen, to Dr. Patrick Obin. Thank you for your encouraging word and giving us concerning the priesthood. We thank God for Prophet Pastor Irving Benjamin. We thank God for giving us some clarity on what we're supposed to be as priests in this earth. And I just want to give honor also to my overseers, Apostle Ivy Hopkins and Apostle Evan Bailey and their wives. I give honor last but not least to my wife for 27 years, Pastor Roberta Johnson. We're going to go right into the Word of God because we're talking about being priests as far as the body of Christ in the kingdom of God. So we're going to go to 1 Peter chapter number 2, familiar scripture. We've been reading this all night, and we're going to start at verse number 1. We're going to read to verse number 10. It says, "Wherefore lay aside, stand aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speaking. As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. If so be that you have tasted that the Lord is gracious, to whom cometh as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. You also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifice acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the scripture, Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore believe he is precious, but unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of a stumbling, and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praise of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not attained mercy, but now have attained mercy." I just want to have a quick word of prayer. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for your wisdom, knowledge, revelation tonight. Thank you for understanding. Thank you for touching the hearts of those that are on the line tonight. Lord, we thank you for every listener. And Father, we thank you, Lord, for our priesthood, our place in the body of Christ. We bless you. We honor you. We thank you for the great things that you're doing and about in the life of your people, your true believers. And we give you the praise, the glory, and the honor that the enemy is defeated. And we are victorious in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're talking about the priesthood in the body of Christ. And I'm going to go back to 1 Peter chapter number 2, and we're going to look at verse number 1. Peter is talking to the body of Christ. He said, wherefore, laying aside all malice. He's saying, lay aside all malice. Get rid of your evil behavior and all guile and hypocrisies and envy and all evil speaking. So he's calling us through the scripture that we must lay aside some things. We must put things to the side that will hinder our priesthood. As a newborn babe, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. And if so be, have tasted that the Lord is gracious. And we know that because the Bible said, taste and see that the Lord is good, and blessed is the man that trusts in him, to whom cometh. We are coming to him as a who is a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but he's been chosen of God and precious. Who are we coming to? We're coming to Christ. We're coming to Christ, the stone that was disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God, and he is precious. He is precious. He was rejected by people, but he was chosen by God, and he is to be honored. And so verse number 5 tells us, you also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house. So we are a spiritual house. The Bible said that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. It says, and holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. And one thing that I wanted to talk about tonight was some spiritual sacrifice. I know Dr. Obin had touched on a few things, but there's some other things in the Word of God that I want us to look at concerning these spiritual sacrifice, these spiritual offerings. It's not the offering of the old covenant where they were offering up bullocks and lambs and goats and different things of this nature, but this is the spiritual offering that God wants us to offer to him that's acceptable to God, and we offer it through Jesus Christ, who is the mediator between God and man. Yes, we do have a high priest. He is the apostle, and he is the high priest of our profession, and his name is Jesus, and we are his holy priesthood. And so we have a responsibility as the holy priesthood to offer up. And the first one that I want to talk about is in Proverbs chapter number 15. We can go there right quick. Proverbs chapter number 15, and it'll be verse number 8. So the first spiritual sacrifice that I want to talk about is prayer. Prayer is a spiritual sacrifice. The Bible says that he would that men would pray always and faint not. It's the will of God that we pray, that we intercede, that we call on God. As priests, he has called us to pray. As ministers of the gospel, as lay members, we are still all priests. He has called us. And it says in verse number 8 of Proverbs 15, the sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord. Notice what it says. The sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord. But the prayer of the upright is his delight. So what does he delight in? He delights in the prayer of the upright. The Bible says, it lets us know that God's face is against them that do evil, but his ear is open unto the righteous to, guess what, answer their prayer. So prayer is a sacrifice that we offer up to God. It's a spiritual sacrifice. And guess what? If you're wicked, the Bible said that sacrifice is an abomination to the Lord. But the prayer of the upright, it is his delight. So what is one of the spiritual sacrifices that we offer up to God? Prayer. Mm-hmm. Prayer is the key to a lot of problems that we're dealing with on the earth, that's going on with the body of Christ, that's going on in the midst of his church. Prayer is the answer. And it's a sacrifice that we're going to have to make We're going to have to offer up to God. Listen, a lot of times when we be honest, we don't feel like praying. And see, I believe what has happened is we have made prayer so traditional where I got to pray this particular time of day. But I believe that we have to get the mindset that no matter where we are, and when the opportunity arises, we need to pray. Because God moves in our prayer. He is delighted in it. He delights in the prayers of the righteous. So let's look at another example of a spiritual sacrifice. Let's go to Genesis chapter number 22. Genesis chapter number 22. And I want to look at verse number 5. What is happening here? Abraham, the friend of God, the father of our faith, is being asked by God to give his son as a sacrifice. He's asked by God to give his son, the promised seed, as a sacrifice. This is what Abraham said going up to give the sacrifice. We're going to go to verse number 5. And it says that Abraham said unto his young men, abide ye here with the donkeys. And he said, with the donkey, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. So what is another spiritual sacrifice? Worship. The Bible says the Father seeketh such that worship him in spirit and in truth. The Lord is looking for this sacrifice. He desires it. He said, I seek such that worship me in spirit and truth. Abraham is going up to offer his son as a sacrifice. He thinks he's offering his son, but God is just testing and proving him. But he's telling the people that we're going up to worship. We're going up to worship God. And so him offering his son and get ready to give God that sacrifice, he looked at it as worship. He looked at it as worship. And we must understand that worship is a spiritual sacrifice that's important in the life of the people of God, and it's important to our priesthood. We must be worshipers because that's what God is seeking after, the worshiper. Now, we know what happened. God had a ram in the bush, and Isaac ended up coming off that sacrificial altar, and the ram was put into place. But notice what he said. We are going up to worship, and we're going to return again. Now, God is telling him to offer up his son. He don't know everything that's about to happen, but he said, listen, I'm going up to worship, and we're coming back again. Because worship is a sacrificial offering. Let's look at another one, Hebrews 13 and 5. And we heard this scripture tonight also. It's another spiritial sacrifice. Notice we're talking about spiritual sacrifices. In the Old Testament, they were physical. They were animals that were sacrificed. But now we're talking about spiritual sacrifices. Why? Because we have a new and better covenant with better promises. We're not under the confusing to me sometimes with the body of Christ is that people always try to go back to the old when God has given us something new. He's not only new, but he said it's better. Now, the old can teach us some principles that we can apply in the new, but guess what? The new is always better than the old. We're in the new now. We're in a new covenant, and it's a better covenant with better promises. Let's look at Hebrews chapter number 13, verse number 5. It says, let your conversation be without confessionness. No, I'm sorry. Wrong. 15. Hebrews 13 and 15. I'm sorry. Hebrews 13 and 15. Moved a little too fast there, but here we go. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his what? Name. By him, therefore, who? Jesus, let us offer the sacrifice of praise. Remember, he's the high priest, to God continuously. That is of our lips, giving thanks to his name. So praise is important. It's a spiritual sacrifice. The Bible says he that offered praise glorifieth God. When we offer praise, we glorify the name of the Lord. The Bible says the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous, they run in and they are what? Safe. So when we glorify, and Paul is telling us with the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. Because when we offer praise to God, we give thanks. The Bible tells us, the Bible says, to enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and we enter into his courts with praise. Thanksgiving, I tell people this all the time, thanksgiving opens up our heart to praise. Start to remember what God has done for us and be thankful for it. It opens up our heart to praise. Praise is a spiritual sacrifice that God wants us to walk in as our priesthood. Let's look at another spiritual sacrifice. And it's in Philippians chapter number 2. Philippians chapter number 2. And it's going to be verse number 17. Another spiritual sacrifice. And this spiritual sacrifice is service of faith. Our service of faith. The just shall live by their faith. Now without faith, it's impossible to please God. That he is, and he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So let's look at Philippians chapter number 2, verse number 17. Yea, and if I be offered upon the sacrifice, Paul is talking about, listen, I'm getting ready to lose my life. I'm getting ready to sacrifice, the ultimate sacrifice for this gospel. I'm getting ready to lose my life. He said, and your service of faith, he said, listen, I'm going to offer myself upon the sacrifice and your service of faith, which is another offering that Paul is saying. The Philippian church serving the faith is also going to be offered up with his life. Because guess what? His life helped them to walk in the faith. And the service of faith was seen among men. And he said, I joy and rejoice with you all. Now I want to read this in the New Living Translation. It says, but I will rejoice even as I lose my life, pouring it out like a liquid offering to God. Just like your faithful service is an offering to God. And I want all of you to share that with joy. Our service of faith in the kingdom of God is a sacrificial, spiritual offering to God. Our service of faith, not just any kind of service, but our service of faith. We are to believe God to the end. Because he said, lo, I will be with you always, even until the end of time. Yes, we are in the last days. Are we in the end time yet? No, we're not there yet, but we're in the last days. But guess what, church? We need to prepare ourselves. We need to keep the faith. Come on. We need to hold on to eternal life because he is coming back to rapture his church. I believe it with all my heart. The Bible says the dead in Christ shall rise first, and those that remain shall be caught up to meet them in the air. I believe it with all my heart. We've been in the book of Revelations in our Bible study for the last 8 weeks, and we're going to be doing 22 weeks of Revelation. That's a 22 chapter, and we're going to do a chapter a week. And we're to the point now where the church had already been raptured up, and now we're in the part of Revelation chapter number 8. We're in 6, 7, 8, where it's dealing with the great tribulation. And I'm telling you, church, that's going to be a trying time for many people. And it behooves us to be a part of that rapture because it's going to be a bad time during the great tribulation. But our service of faith is a sacrifice, a spiritual sacrifice that we are to offer to God. The last spiritual sacrifice, and it may not be the only one left in the Word of God, but the last one I'm going to deal with tonight is Romans chapter number 12, and it's the sacrifice of our body. The sacrifice of our body. The spiritual sacrifice of our body. Romans chapter number 12, verse number 1, and I'm going to read verses 1 and 2. It says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the what? Mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Because remember, he said a holy priesthood. The body should be a living sacrifice. My life should be a living sacrifice. Why the body? Because the Bible says, once again, that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, and if sin dwells in that temple, God will destroy that temple. So we need to understand we're bought with a price. I keep hearing people talk about freedom in the body of Christ. You are not free to do what you want. You are free to serve God as his priest in the earth, not to do what we want. Paul said, I am a prisoner of Christ. Yes, I'm free, but I've been called to liberty, not to do what I want, not to fulfill the lust of the flesh, but to honor, praise, and worship God in this body, in this earth. He said to present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable. Remember, we're offering a spiritual sacrifice that are pleasing to God, that are acceptable to God. Our giving our body to God is acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. It's reasonable. Now, I'm going to read this in a new Living Translation. And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God, because all he has done for you, let them be a living and a holy, let them be a living and a holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. This is truly the way to worship him. The ultimate worship unto God is not lifting our hands in the service, but the ultimate worship to God is giving our bodies as a living sacrifice, but this is our reasonable service. It's a lifestyle. It's not a one time demonstration in the house of God where we lift in our hands or we're speaking in tongues, but it's a lifestyle. Now I believe in praise and worship, but the ultimate, the highest form of worship is obedience to God. It's the highest form of worship. And be not conformed to this world. Don't conform. Don't go after the pattern of this world, because we're in this world, but we're not of this world. It says, but be you transformed, come on, be you transformed by the renewing of your mind, by the changing of the way that you think, that you may prove what is good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. And I want to read this in the NLT version. It says, don't copy the behavior and the customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you. Those are some spiritual sacrifices that the Bible talks about. Prayer, worship, praise, service of faith, and our body. Those are spiritual sacrifices that he's expecting from us as priests unto God. Let's go back to 1 Peter chapter number 2, and I'm going to wrap this thing up. We're at verse number 6. Wherefore also it is contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone. He's elect and precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. You will not be disgraced. Unto you, therefore, which believe, he is precious. Come on. To us that believe, he is precious. And we don't have a problem bringing sacrifice to him. Why? Because he's precious in our sight. He's to be honored greatly. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner. He's the chief of the corner. And a stone of a stumbling, and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient. They say, when we walk in disobedient, we stumble at the word. We stumble at the word of God. We live in a time when men and women do not want to endure sound doctrine, but they will heap to themselves after their own lust, teachers having itching ears. But God is calling his priests to minister sound doctrine. sound doctrine. What is sound doctrine? The doctrine of Christ. Listen, this world needs to understand the wrath of God abides upon the children of disobedience. But those that are obedient, God will release the blessing in their life. The Bible says in the book of James, it says that he blesses the hearer, not just the hearer of the word, but the doer of the word. That's who God blesses. Not just the one that hears and will not obey, but the one that hears and will do what God said. That's where the blessing lies. It says, being disobedient, whereto also they were appointed. Let me read that in the NLT. And he is the stone that makes people stumble, the rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they do not obey God's word. And so they meet the fate that was planned for them. Because the wrath of God abides upon the children of disobedience. We can't sugarcoat that. We can't make people feel good. You don't have to walk in that. You can walk in obedience. You can walk in the priesthood that God has for you, because he said, my thoughts of you are not evil, but peace that might give you an expected end. But you have to make a choice and decision. Moses said, I set before you life and death, blessings and curses. You choose life that you and your seed may live. Let's look at this, and we're finishing up. But you are a chosen generation. Look what he said. Listen, you are a chosen generation. I want you to know, because you obey my word, because you're offering these spiritual sacrifices, because you understand that you are a holy priesthood, because you know that you are a chosen generation, I picked you out. I have picked you out. You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. And see, he went from holy priesthood, we go back to verse number 5, to now a royal priesthood. Why? Because I made you a king and a priest, royal priesthood. You're not just a priest, but you're a king and priest. David was one in the Old Testament that kind of operated in both of those things. David was a king, and he operated as a priest at times. So that anointing to operate as a king and priest, he's bringing these things together. You're going to rule and reign, and guess what? You're going to be my people that offer up the sacrifices, the spiritual sacrifices in the earth. You're my priesthood. You're a royal priesthood and a holy nation, a peculiar people, God's own possession. That's who you are. That you should show forth the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. What are we here to show forth? The praises of him that called us out of darkness. How are we going to show forth God's praises? By offering spiritual sacrifices, offering those spiritual sacrifices that are pleasing to God in his sight, that God will receive through Jesus Christ, which in time past,
Amen.
You were
Hallelujah.
Not a people, but are now the people of God. Listen, your past does not have control over you anymore. You used to be, but God has delivered you now. And we need to accept who we are now and stop always going back to who we used to be and allowing people to remind us of where we come from and realize that we are God's
Amen.
People.
Hallelujah. Yes.
But you are
Hallelujah.
Now the people of God, which have not attained mercy. Come on. But now have attained mercy. We are God's people now. And we need to walk as God's people. You're more than a conqueror. You are overcomer through your faith in Jesus Christ. You have
Hallelujah.
To know who you are and whose you are if you want to see what God says you're going to be in this earth. We're going to be kings and priests in this land. In Jesus' name. And I thank God for the opportunity. And just to remind you, you are what God says you are. And you are who God says you are. Not what anybody else says. Because what the Lord said, what God said, God is not a man that he shall lie, of the son of man that he shall repent, If he said it, shall he not do it? If he spoke it, shall he not make it good? Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I have learned so much about myself from this broadcast tonight. Thank you, Prophet Jermaine. Hallelujah. Everybody
bless
came
you.
From someplace different. Everybody. It always happens. The same topic, and everybody expounds on it differently as the Holy Spirit leads them. Well, I feel like I've just been through a revival. I thank God, hallelujah, for every speaker. I thank you, Jermaine, for just ministering to my spirit and those that are listening from one end of the earth to the other, if not live tonight, on demand. I just want the listeners to know that within the next 15 minutes after I close the broadcast, it'll be on demand at www.blogtalkradio.com/gatekeepers-ministry. I thank God for this ministry. I thank God for the gatekeepers that spoke tonight. Hallelujah. The men of God that spoke to us about being God's priest. Hallelujah. I was raised Catholic, and you know, in the Catholic Church, they're called priests. And some of them, I remember I was soul winning American University campus in Washington, D.C. some years ago with a team. And that's the Catholic University was represented there, and there were a lot of priests dressed up in their robes at little vending things with promoting coming to church and different things that they were offering at the colleges. And I asked this one priest, if you were to die today, do you know if you would go to heaven or hell? And he said he didn't know. And he was a priest. And he wasn't a young man. He was dressed in his garb and everything. But that was one of a handful of priests that I had led to Christ. And so I talked to him about the scriptures, and I talked to him about being born again, which not too many priests, unless they're in a charismatic church with a lot of gospel-believing black folks, they don't minister on born again. And so I talked to him about that, and I led him into a prayer to give his life to Jesus Christ. And what all of that was about. And I felt here I'm raised all these years in the Catholic Church under priests that did not have a personal relationship with Jesus. So I've learned a lot tonight about who I am in Christ and who I don't want to be. And last week and this week have been the final hours of these end time ministry that we are called to as priests, praying people, loving the Lord and one another. So Prophet Benjamin, thank you so much for being on the broadcast again. I'm honored and blessed to have had you minister to us very thoroughly. I'm going to close the broadcast right now, just reminding you and all the listeners that only what you do for Christ will last. God bless you and good night.